Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to be back with you. Vacation was fun. I got to see all my kids, and that's really special because that doesn't happen all that often when we're all together. However, because I was on vacation last week, I didn't take the 10 hours that I usually spend to write a sermon. So you are getting a sermon written by the rector of St. Albans in Washington, D.C. His name is Bertie Pearson, and the sermon comes from an Episcopal website called Sermons That Work. That website was established for people like me who are solo priests in a parish that have to come up with a sermon every week. So they realize there's some weeks that it's just not going to happen. So I apologize, and I've explained why you're getting somebody else's sermon, but here we go. Today's gospel features one of the most iconic of all Christian scenes, Christ coming to the disciples upon the waves. Jesus walking on water has become almost a cultural cliche. You find it on everything from ancient icons to dollar store postcards. In this passage, however, the disciples do not find our Lord walking upon the sea a comforting image. Instead, they're terrified. The winds have picked up, the water is choppy, and when the disciples see their teacher striding across the waves, they interpret this as highly unnatural rabbinical behavior, as spooky supernatural activity. And in classic Scooby-Doo fashion, they shout, "G-g-g-g-ghost!" The problem here is that Jesus commanding the waves to be firm so that he can walk to the boat is not at all otherworldly. Seen from the biblical perspective, that is the most natural thing in the world for a human to do. The disciples simply haven't yet realized what a true human is. In the book of Genesis, humans are created for one purpose: to be the image and likeness of God. And as such, they're given dominion over creation. Contrary to popular interpretation, dominion is not freedom to chop down all the forests and strip mine the land for maximum profit, nor is dominion a byword for being good stewards of the environment. Dominion is a state in which the whole of creation is in harmony with the will of God. This dominion appears in iconography of the saints when Saint Benedict is pictured with the raven who once saved his life, or when Saint Jerome is painted next to the lion said to have become his friend and protector. This idea of dominion is the source of C.S. Lewis's vision of the innate veneration the animals of Narnia pay to the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. But to us, and not to mention the terrified disciples in the boat, it all sounds fantastical, like the stuff of fables and dreams. This is not because we are infinitely wise beings, capable of evaluating the mystery of God, but because we have lost a part of our essential humanity. In the narrative of the fall, we see Adam and Eve turn away from God, away from their true nature, and towards nothingness. Our primary job description as humans, the essence of humanity, is being the image and likeness of God. To be a human means to be a living vision of the peace of God, of the goodness of God, of the love of God. Those around you should look upon you and think, how amazingly kind she is. How wildly accepting he is. What an oasis of peace they are. To see a human being should be to glimpse a vision of God's holiness. While this is sometimes the case, the vast majority of us spend our time preoccupied by our little goals and projects, running from our fears, chasing our ambitions. To the extent that this core purpose of our human nature is diminished, we become less and less human. In today's gospel, Peter and the other disciples are focused on keeping their boat afloat so that they can continue netting enough fish to feed their families, to pay the mortgage on the boat, and perhaps put a little away for retirement in an ancient world 401k, otherwise known as their mattress. Suddenly, Peter sees the one true human walking on the waves and cries out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Now, why should Peter say this? Is he trying to test Jesus' reality? Or is he begging to share the novel experience of stepping across the sea? What if this is neither a test nor the expression of curiosity, but instead a plea for Jesus to return Peter to his own full humanity? What if Peter's cry means, "Lord, let me share this dominion. Let me share your life as a vision of grace, a font of goodness, the image of the love of God." And what happens? Jesus tells Peter to join him in commanding the waves. While having dominion over water is impressive, this story is something like a gateway miracle. What would it be like to have dominion not just over something as basic as the unruly sea, but over something really uncontrollable, like your anger? What would life be like if no one ever had the power to ruin your day, to drive you crazy because you were so full of love, even for those cutting you off in traffic and shouting at you from the TV? It's impressive to have dominion over leprosy, but what would it be like to have dominion over greed and covetousness? What would it be like to have the idol of wealth broken to such an extent that you could actually give to all those who ask of you? That when someone tried to take your cloak, you would be quick to offer him your tunic as well? What if you had perfect dominion over your addiction to pride and power, to vanity and impressing others, dominion over addictions to shopping or pornography, to fear, to being judgmental? What if you could simply rebuke them and have them disappear? Wow. What would happen if we, like Peter, were boldly to request such astonishing powers? Just the same thing. Jesus would command us to come to him. When we ask for Jesus' help, he actually gives us the grace to overcome not just petty things like winds and seas, but these utterly overpowering forces as well. There are times when we may experience this grace. We might be overwhelmed by compassion for another, forgiveness of our enemies, or extravagant generosity. But then we get scared. We close off. We say, I just can't forgive that monster. I just can't give away $10,000. I can't walk on water. And we begin to sink. But here is the secret. You can jump back in the boat. You can say that you've gotten over your weird religious phase and are back to normal. Or in the midst of your doubts, in the midst of your fears, you can stay in the water. There you can cry out with Peter, Lord, save me. You can cry out to the one who is not only the perfect human, but God incarnate. Lord, make me a vessel of your peace. Lord, forgive me my trespasses only to the extent that I forgive those who trespass against me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And what will Jesus do? Reach out, grab you by the arm. He will hold you above the waves when you can't walk upon them. Ask a Christian in Alcoholics Anonymous what it's like to allow Jesus to do the impossible through you. Ask a former slave ship captain like the Reverend John Newton what it's like to turn your back on your former life to become an anti-slavery crusader. Either person will be quick to tell you of the amazing grace with which Jesus imbues your life when you ask for it. But it takes faith to step out of the boat. It takes faith to be kind to those who are unkind to you. And it takes faith to give away your money, your patience, your security. It takes faith to follow Jesus. And this is why, like the disciples in the boat, we must bow down and worship Jesus. We must allow him to have dominion over us. We must come before his altar, hear his word, receive his body and blood, and allow him to send us into the world to do his will. Amen.